Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sign Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon, continuing on with Rex Month. So, without further ado, let's jump into some show notes. If you're looking for some pro wrestling in the next few days, tonight, WCWO back at the Outlaw Arena as usual on a Friday night in Indianapolis, Indiana. IWA Mid-South running the Ted Petty Cup, Clarksville, Indiana. Pro Wrestling All-Stars in Melvindale, Michigan. AAW in Berwyn, Illinois. Destination One Wrestling in Jeffersonville, Indiana. House of Glory in Jamaica, New York. Brew City Wrestling in West Allis, Wisconsin. MCW in Dunlap, Tennessee. Tomorrow night, FTW debuting in Spencer, Indiana. NGW in Crawfordsville, Indiana. Northwest Pro in Vaughan, Washington. SAW in Spokane, Washington. GSW in Moosic, Pennsylvania. WCWC in Portland, Oregon. OSF in Elizabethtown, North Carolina. RCW in Edmonton, Alberta. SCW in Walcott, Iowa. MEW in Hibbing, Minnesota. CZW in Voorhees, New Jersey. IWF in Nutley, New Jersey. KZW in Somerset, Kentucky. PWA in Jasper, Alabama. Tier 1 Wrestling in Staten Island, New York. EWI in Killdeer, North Dakota. MCW in Middletown, Ohio. And Championship Wrestling in Lula, Mississippi tomorrow, featuring Dangerous Doug Gilbert and Jerry the King Lawler. Now, jumping into Rex Month, we have with us the brains behind America's favorite Ramones Core pop punk wrestling theme band, Rex Blueberry Muffin, Razor Sharp. Rex, welcome to Rex Month. You've done it.
Is QT here?
He is here.
Yes, please.
Oh, this is excellent. I'm grateful to be on the show with the great QT. He's basically my favorite part of this whole Turnbuckle Turmoil, Sign Guy Wrestling show, anytime he's on, anything. So I'm glad you're here, QT.
Well, it is an honor and a privilege, yes.
How have you been doing, QT? What have you been doing? How's life? What's the score,
bud,
QT?
Taking a lot of cold medicine.
A lot of cold medicine. What kind are you on?
Pretty much a NyQuil and mixed with Rainer Ale and peppermint schnapps. Yes.
That sounds like a delightful mix. How's it making you feel? Are you feeling great? I bet you're great. Ready to roll.
Well, it makes you feel like you're in a fist fight with John Mellencamp.
That's my dream. How did you know about that?
Oh, I'm not sure. I mean, Well, when you mix peppermint schnapps and Rainier Ale and cold medicine, I just thought that's how most people feel. Yes.
So, Saga, what is this bullshit we're doing? Am I just going to talk to QT the whole time, or do you have things that you're going to say?
Well, I have a few questions. I will start with IWA Mid-South. I know you're a huge fan of IWA Mid-South. They're having their biggest show, the Ted Petty card that happens every year. What's your thoughts?
It's called the Ted Petty Invitational. This is the first time they've done it since 2008.
That's true, because they've been dormant off and on. But when they're running, they run the Ted Petty Invitational, Were you a big fan of Ted Petty?
Yeah.
All right. Now, also one of your favorite wrestlers of all time, Dalton Castle, he recently was in the main event against Adam Cole when they debuted on this new network. What did you think of Dalton Castle getting the main event slot when they switched networks?
Didn't see it.
Wow. Well, I believe it is available on ringofhonor.com. You could always check it out at your convenience, I believe.
Okay.
Now, speaking of networks, there is a brand new network for Impact Wrestling. They're moving from Destination America, also going over to Pop. What are your thoughts of Pop TV getting Impact Wrestling?
We don't get Pop on Uverse. Do you get it?
I do get it, actually. I made sure. I went to my cable office and checked for both Ring of Honor and Impact Wrestling. I had them scroll through the channels on the gimmicky TV people watch while they wait for their number to be called, and they found it.
You watched it?
Well, I did not catch Ring of Honor yet. I'm catching it on the ringofhonor.com, as they told me to do.
No, the Pop channel. Did you watch it?
Oh, well, I have watched Pop before. But Impact, not on there yet. They have two more weeks, and then they will debut on Pop.
Okay.
Now, I know that another one of your favorites was in the Impact Wrestling title tournament recently, Crazy Steve. I know you're a huge fan of his. Was it heartbreaking when he did not advance out of his bracket to go on to the round of 16?
Yeah, that was pretty heartbreaking.
I thought so. All right. Well, I believe we have hit the part of the show where it's time for a little bit of word association. I believe you have done this before. I'll throw out the names of some people that you know. First word to describe them. There is your answer. Are you ready? Darren Corbin.
Ginger Geek.
Sugar Dunkerton.
Sugary Geek.
Vampiro.
Old Geek.
Cheeseburger.
No clue who that is, Geek.
Chris Hero.
Best in the World, Geek.
Stompin' Steve.
Jerry Wilson, Geek.
Thunder Kitty.
Thunder Kitty. Lady Geek.
Will Huckabee.
Will Huckabee. Will Huckabee. Will Huckabee. Undisputed Wrestling Show Geek.
Roger Blade.
Roger Blade. Vampire Geek.
Ole Tharp.
Googly Eyed Geek.
John Wayne Murdoch.
Up and coming, Geek.
Big E.
A cat under the car, baby twerking, Geek.
Homicide.
Does he still wrestle, Geek?
Damian Cole.
Some sort of video game, Geek.
The final one, Sexy Star.
Lucha Underground, Geek. QT, do you have any? Why don't you toss some out to me, QT?
Well, I think Sun Guy had two questions about an upcoming tour that the Razor Ramones were going to do. Yes.
No. Toss me some word associations. I need some from you.
Oh,
you're the reason. I'm, yeah.
Oh, well, I was going to do that slightly later. I had a very more important question to ask you. Yes.
Okay. Oh, I would much rather hear your more important question than do some more goddamn word association. Jesus Christ, that went on for like 20 minutes.
Well, yes, but
yeah,
word association is the glue that holds our society together.
Mm-hmm.
Among turnbuckle turmoil, yes.
Okay, well,
okay.
But yeah, that's fine. But your more important question.
Well, what did you think of our opening theme song for this show, Mad Cow Line Dance? It was done from a guy I went to high school with.
So a guy you went to high school with did Mad Cow Line Dance? That song was great. I've heard it occasionally here and there. You guys like to tout it about around. You enjoy posting it. You enjoy sharing it. And I enjoyed hearing it. It was a delight. It made me very excited. It got me amped up to talk with you, QT. Wonderful choice. Wonderful song choice, QT. Tell me about he went to high school with you?
Yes. His real name is John Ahonen. And
mm-hmm.
He used to play with one of the bass, you know, the group Dokken?
Mm-hmm.
He used to play bass in our hometown of Longview with Jeff Pilsner, who was a bass player for Dokken.
Really?
Yes, Jeff Pilsner went to Ollie Long High School, and that's right
uh-huh.
across Lake Sacagawea from Mark Morris.
Well, I got a question for you, QT. How do
yes.
you feel about the theme song from, I believe it's Nightmare on Elm Street, Part 3, Dream Warriors, the song Dream Warriors by Dokken?
Oh, wow. I haven't heard of that. I haven't heard of that song. I'll have to look
you
that up.
You haven't heard Dream? Oh, it's one of my favorite Halloween songs. Every Halloween, I'm jamming that pretty much constantly. We're the Dream Warriors. And I'm fighting something. It's so good.
Wow. Well, I'm sure it's better than that song Dreamweaver that I heard in the 80s.
Yes, it is much.
Dreamweaver. I believe mm-hmm. we can reach the morning light.
Have you ever sung for a band, QT?
No.
Mm. I think you're missing your calling, brother. That was some beautiful, beautiful, beautiful pipes on you, brother.
Oh, well, you know, if I were ever to be a singer, I'd approach a band like I would, like John Linden of the Sex Pistols. He never had any musical training before he auditioned for them. Yes.
Yeah, old Johnny Rotten, he was interesting, his voice, and I try to rip that off for the Razor Ramones, basically. It's kind of, blah, 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 that's how I sing. And I take a lot of it from him. I take a lot of it from Darby Crash of the Germs. Basically, anyone that sounds like their mouth's full of throw-up, that's who is my vocal inspiration.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, you know, I know that before he joined the Sex Pistols, he would pal around with his friend, Sid Vicious, Sid Beverly,
mm-hmm.
A.K.A.
Mm-hmm.
Sid Beverly, in the subways of London. And they
mm-hmm.
had one song called I Left My Heart in Some Crummy Disco. And the people would hear them singing that over and over again, and that's about the only song they knew, and they'd go, all right, that's about enough of that. We've heard of that, and they'd throw some change at them. Yes.
Yeah. They're throwing change. Here you go. They just look like a couple of homeless bums, huh?
Yes.
Now, QT.
Yes.
What? Are you, you know, I don't want to take this show over with my own questions, but I do want to know, Folsom Prison Blues, how do you feel about that song particularly? Is that your favorite song referencing prison, or do you have a more favorite prison song?
Well, I've got to check into the more expanded repertoire of G.G. Allin. I think he may have sang some songs.
Oh, I could go on. I was obsessed with G.G. Allin a ton when I was in like high school till my probably mid 20s. I could sing some G.G. Allin for you.
Oh, hey, that'd be pretty good, yes.
Like the hit song, Expose Yourself to Kids, probably not one that you should do.
No, not on this show, yes.
Or like Hard Candy Cock?
Well, you know, sometimes G.G. Allin sounded like a parrot being strangled on stage. Yes.
Hard Candy Cock, come to you, Hard Candy Cock. But I just wanted to find out, I've thought about it a lot lately, QT, and I really think that, like, I really do feel possibly that prison life, I could be really successful in it because, you know, I spent a lot of time working at the detention center, right? And I learned a lot kind of about the culture starting there. So I know a lot about the backgrounds of kind of jail culture. And, you know, I've watched a lot of episodes of Oz. So I feel like that, like, showed me a lot of the prison life, too. And it's, like, I feel like prison life, like, I could be really successful in prison life. What do you think?
Well, now I've listened to Johnny Cash's Folsom Prison Blues, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's that song, it's more of like what happens when you go into prison that first night and the doors
mm-hmm.
close and you're facing a long sentence, how you feel then when you hear the metallic click of the door. Yes.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It is more about that first moment. I feel like that prison setting, you know, that prison lifestyle, I just feel like I'd be real comfortable there.
Well, that depends. Now, there's minimum security prison, which is the polar opposite of maximum, supermax prisons, like you have in Pelican State Bay in Northern California that holds the Crips and the Bloods. Yes. Now, if you're higher up in society and you make a white collar crime, you know, and you're pretty well connected, then you're pretty much going to a minimum security prison. You know, where you have some conjugal visits and you get to play badminton in the gym and you get
mm-hmm.
the table. Yes. I mean, mm-hmm. if you're going to commit a crime and you get free cable, I mean, look at me in junior high and starting out high school. Now, I survived those tap dance lessons, but I had to go steady with a girl just to get free cable. Yes.
Now, if you're missing high school, I was reading this article earlier. It was from a high school. I believe it was in your neck of the woods. I'm not positive on the exact location. I think it was called, like, Mark Morris High School.
Yes.
Have you heard of it?
Oh, I went to it.
Oh, no way. No, you didn't.
Oh, yeah. The school mascot is the Monarch.
The Monarch?
Mark Morris Monarchs, yes.
Oh, I did not know that. No, I was reading this article. It was the principal, what's his name? Something Suit. Principal Suit, something like that. He had written an article just about some of the successes they've had at Martin Morris High School with implementing programs that help their students not necessarily just prepare themselves for their post-secondary life as far as, like, college, but preparing for their post-secondary life in terms of prison. Have you heard about this?
Oh, well, now a lot of kids, there was a period where a lot of kids went through the heroin at Martin Morris.
Really?
The smack got a hold of several of the kids in there in town. Yes.
Yeah, the principal, he's been talking about implementing programs that are geared towards, you know, the children that aren't going to be the post-secondary education learners. They are the ones that are more bound for life of crime, a life behind bars, and a ways of not necessarily steering them away from that, because that's vastly impossible, as we've seen in the war on drugs and such. It's been impossible to win that war. But this is more about preparing them with the skills and the traits that they'll need to survive in a post-secondary prison sort of setting. And I found it very interesting. I had no idea that was your school. That's crazy.
Oh, yes, yes, Mark Morris. You can do a Wikipedia search on that. It was built in 1957. You know, and Longview has gone through boom and bust. In the 80s, there was a big cocaine problem in Longview. And a lot of the jobs back in the 50s and 60s were with the timber industry. But the timber industry kind of went belly up in the Northwest when all these wacko environmentalists said that the spotted owl was an endangered species. And so a lot of the spotted owl, they had environmentalists chaining themselves to trees. Oh, you can't log here. And so a lot of the logging went away. Gee whiz. Yeah.
And then that left the jobs up shit creek, so that a lot of these kids, they're not going to end up working in the logging fields anymore like they would have. Now they're just left with the drug trade, and I can see why the principal would be discussing these new ideas. It's quite interesting. I'll send you the link later if I remember. Now, what other questions you got, QT?
Well, I was going to ask if you recently saw the match between Roman Reigns and Sting. Sting was launched into the top
Wait. Not Roman Reigns. It was between Seth Rollins and Sting, right?
Oh, yes, Seth Rollins. I get the two mixed up, yes.
How did you get the two mixed up? Okay, but I understand. They wear similar gear. I get it.
Yes, very similar gear. But look at Seth Rollins launching Sting twice into the turnbuckle, and Sting's head went back. And that affected, of course, his neck. Did you see after the second one, Sting trying to walk? He looked like a drunken sailor.
He did. You're very right. I did see that. It was very sad what had happened to Sting in that match. And I guess he's had a neck surgery. Meltzer was talking about it. He was talking about it. That's where I heard it. He talked about it on the Flair podcast. His neck is a mess, and he did surgery, and he'll probably never wrestle again. Have you heard this?
Yeah, I did. I didn't really hear anything about any comments from Sting, but he's like 56 years old now, and he's suffered prior injuries, of course. You know, every time he launches himself in that Stinger splash, you know, look at the contact that he's made throughout the years, just by the Stinger splash. So I'm sure he's going to of course, think this over, yes. Anytime you have neck surgery, it's risky anyway.
That's a very good point. It is very risky. A very, very, very good point. Your neck, something you just can't mess around with. So many nerves, your brain's connected to it, you know?
Yes. Which also brings me to one question. Did you suffer any concussions in high school?
All right. I'm quite sure I've suffered a few. The one that I remember most vividly, it would have been middle school, not high school, but it was this fella. What was his name? I don't know the fella's name, but he was a kid from my neighborhood. And he had always been a bit of a bully, right? So I never liked this kid. He was just a dick. And so one day in middle school, he was being a dick to me and did something. I can't remember what he did. stepped on my shoes or something, and I lost it. And I turned around and I like shoved it as hard as I could, and then he just came right over the top, boom, caught me right on the temple, knocked me out cold. And I you're knocked out cold when you see that black and white fuzzy TV nonsense. And I stumbled up and was like, and like a bunch of other guys like grabbed that guy, and I don't know what happened because I was out of it. But that's the one I remember from my high school days particularly. There's been a bunch since then, probably others. I've probably had a few. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow.
That's a good question.
All right.
It really takes me back.
Well, I was also going to ask, you've seen the band Lords of the Underworld on South Park, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was kind of wondering if that's how the Razor Ramones kind of formed, specifically in an Indiana garage. And all of a sudden, a person named Timmy appears, and he's your singer.
Well,
of course you don't. Yes, go ahead. Yes,
I do work in special education in my shoot job. So perhaps Timmy would be a singer for us, and probably better than me.
Oh, okay. Gee whiz, have you ever thought of when the Razor Ramones are doing a gig, having a slideshow go on behind you with Timmy and Lords of the Underworld's clips of South Park? I think that would go over good with the crowd.
I've never thought of doing having South Park playing behind us. No, one of my old bands, we were called the Inhumanoids. And we had a video that played behind us once that was scenes from the cartoon Inhumanoids interspersed with, it was an old video they used to show to sailors about venereal disease.
Oh, okay.
Called SS. I can't think of the name of it, but it shows these soldiers' diseased dicks.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, that's those 50s cult films would be pretty interesting. They had kids ducking under tables in case of an atomic blast. You're going to get vaporized anyway. I thought the irony in that was pretty good. Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Now, I had someone call in and say, be sure to ask Rex this. What kind of amplifiers do the Ramones play out of?
Amplifiers? A Marshall stack and a PV stack, I believe. Scritney plays the Marshall, and Alomar plays out of the PVs.
Oh, okay. Isn't it true that Iggy and the Stooges at one time almost exclusively used Sun amplifiers? Iggy and the Stooges.
Oh, yeah. Suns are excellent amplifiers. If we could afford them, we would quite possibly use them.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Yes.
Now, how about, have you ever thought of owning a Moss Wright guitar like Johnny Ramone ever did? Moss Wrights, almost exclusively.
I like the way they look, and I know that the fellas like the way they look, but I know they are also quite the uncomfortable guitar. They're very heavy, I believe. And they're shaped in a bizarre way where it's kind of hard to use them. I believe the reason why Johnny Ramone had one was because it was the cheapest guitar when he went to buy one. So it's not necessarily the best guitar, but I think they sound excellent.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they kind of had that surf sound that was popular in the 50s. But if you looked at Johnny Ramone, He certainly didn't look very athletic, you know. But I found out that he did. He was a pitcher when he was a kid, you know, sixth and seventh grade. He pitched in a little league, and he once pitched with a broken toe. His dad, I think he got some of his temperament from his dad. His dad was going, "Yeah, so what? You're a little bit hurt. Cummings, I think that was his last name, Cumming.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
yeah.
He goes, we're not quitters. We go out and work every day. You get out there and play." And Johnny goes, "It was terrible. I went out there with a broken toe and I had to pitch."
I thought it was terrible. But he's no, what's the name of that fella that did all the acid and pitched the perfect game?
Oh, that was in 1968. It wasn't Gibson, I don't think. Bob Gibson.
Let me look it up real quick.
I believe the man's name is Bird.
No, it was Doc Ellis.
Ah, that's it, Doc Ellis.
Hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Doc Ellis did a lot of LSD. And here's something surprising about him later in life. He apparently had a substance abuse problem. And he never pitched without the use of drugs ever, apparently, is what he said. But after going into treatment, he apparently remained sober and counseled drug addicts. But he died of liver failure at the age of 63.
Wow. A lot of musicians, you know, their livers take a very big beating. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the musicians, they seem to survive against incalculable odds. Of course, Keith Richards comes to mind. Yes.
That's very
but
true.
Who was the lead, let me see now, one of the lead singers of Three Dog Night that shot over $1 million of heroin into, Chuck Negron. Oh, my God. Chuck Negron was a huge heroin addict. Terrible. I mean, he used to wander around the bad parts of L.A. trying to score heroin, and there was a Crip gang member that was trying to prove his worth kind of to the other gang members, and
mm-hmm.
he started in on Chuck, who was nearby trying to score, and he said, "Hey, what you doing in our part of the neighborhood? What you doing on our turf, you know?" And he held a gun up to Chuck's head. And one of the other gang members said, "Hey, look into his eyes. Can't you see he's already dead?" Because by this time, he had been shooting heroin for about 5 years, almost nonstop. And the guy goes, "It's going to be a waste of a bullet." So the guy decided not to shoot Chuck. How sad is that?
That is quite sad. Oof. Oof, what a horrible story. Ugh.
You
well,
know,
hey,
by that time, Chuck used to play, he was All-City League in New York back in the late 50s as a basketball player. He was a fantastic basketball player and got all kinds of awards. And then he got a couple scholarship offers, and I believe he played Jerry Tarkanian, who went on to coach UNLV, was an assistant coach somewhere. And I think he played for Jerry Tarkanian when he was a coach starting out. But, you know, he kind of threw basketball away because he wanted to concentrate on his singing. Yes.
Three Dog Night, eh?
Yes, the autobiography was Three Dog Nightmare. Yes.
I like that. That was good. I found out the name of that that film for the... It was for soldiers, specifically Navy men, I believe. What are they called? Seamen? Are they called seamen?
Oh, yes, seamen, yes.
It's for the seamen. Around the World War II time, it was called the USS VD, the Ship of Shame.
Uh-huh.
Yes,
yes,
and it was about the... fooling around with loose women overseas, and then it would show the actual STDs such as syphilis and gonorrhea and what accompanies them. It's an interesting film if you ever get a chance to see it.
Well, I'm afraid, you know, when Germany was on its last legs and Russia was starting to come in from the east in Berlin, the German ladies kind of had suffered the wrath of the Russian soldier, and boy, was VE rampant then. Yes.
Oh, I can imagine. Oof.
The only reason I bring this up was the Sex Pistols had a song called Belsen Was a Gas.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And, you know, of course, Bergen Belsen was that prisoner of war camp, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought the Razor Ramones should do a song about a prison camp like Dachau. Dachau, yes. Or Treblinka.
We did a song about the Dungeon of Doom. Is that close enough?
Oh, right, Dungeon of Doom, yeah, that's pretty good, yes.
Pretty close. Yeah, that's pretty close.
Yeah, I'm just saying, maybe you could do a song about being locked in an underground dungeon, and you have a choice between listening to an insurance salesman or watching Brie Bella films.
Oh, Brie Bella. Yes. Oh, brother, she drives me bonkers.
See, now I think Sign Guy himself would pick being locked into a room and looking at Brie Bella films. Yes.
Yes. Interesting.
But you see, now I was talking to you about maximum security prisons, Supermax, and then below that is maximum. Maximum is kind of like, what is the prison right? Oh, San Quentin. San Quentin is considered a maximum security prison, as is Angola State Prison in Louisiana. But then you've got your supermax prisons like Pelican Bay out in northwest California on the Oregon-California border. That's where they hold all the Crips and Blood gang members.
Yeah, that is. That's confirmed.
And in Colorado, Supermax, they have the guy that tried to bring down the World Trade Centers in 92, that blind sheik cleric.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the blind cleric? Yeah, he's held in Colorado. Yes.
Really? I would have assumed he was dead. That's a long time ago, really. I guess it's not that long.
No, he lasted that long. And I hear that, of course, they have him segregated within the Supermax. And recently he was asking if he could visit with the other prisoners. How delusional is that?
That is quite unusual.
I mean, even in supermax prisons, they allow the prisoners to gather in the yard for 1 hour. Yes.
Yeah, you wouldn't think they would do that, but I believe it's a law. I believe it's a law. What is the, there's that federal prison in Terre Haute, Indiana. I'm not sure a ton about it, but I know it's a federal prison. They've had a lot of the, there's been a lot of famous prisoners executed there.
Well, didn't Jeffrey Dahmer spend time in that Indiana maximum security prison? Jeffrey Dahmer?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm looking it up to see. Here's the list of some of the notable inmates that have been there. Timothy McVeigh. Yeah, that's one of them. He was executed there, actually. I remember that. That happened right before September 11th, I believe. It was in 2001 for sure, and I think it was right before September 11th happened. Yeah, it says it was in June, and I believe September 11th was in September, so they've had, let's see, I'm not sure who, I'm looking to see, it doesn't look like Jeffrey Dahmer did time there, that I can see, it looks like Timothy McVeigh is by far the biggest named, quote unquote, if you will.
Oh, okay. Now, did they do a firing squad with Timothy McVeigh, or did they just lethal injection?
I'm going to guess since it was 2001, that it was a lethal injection and was not a firing squad.
Oh, okay.
Let me look for you to be sure. I'm going to guess, though, that it was 2001.
Wow, all right.
Let's see. It doesn't say here. I'm positive that's what it was, though. Yep, executed by lethal injection. There you go.
Okay, because there's two, I believe there's two states that still have, two states that have hanging still on the books, and one is Utah.
Yeah,
yes.
It's possible that Indiana could do that, but this is a federal prison, so Indiana wouldn't have any say in how he got executed.
Okay.
Yeah. What can you do?
Yeah. Now, all this talk about prisons has me thinking about the movie Stir Crazy. You've seen the movie Stir Crazy with Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor, haven't you?
Probably. I don't remember.
Oh, well, Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder were accused of, like, robbing a bank, and of course they didn't do it. And they have to go into a prison, and there's a big inmate there called Grossberger. Yes. And
I just
and
looked. It came out in 1980. That was the year I was born. So it's possible, I thought, but I would bet I did not.
Oh, wow. All right. Okay. Well,
yeah.
Now, if you could do a quick homework assignment as we speak and go to YouTube and look up Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor in the cell with Grossberger, that leads to my next question. Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Go with your question. I'll look it up as you're asking.
Oh, okay. Well, I myself would like to see the Razor Ramones reenact this scene with Grossberger in the cell, and I'm going to assign Sean Critney to play the role of Richard Pryor that's pinned to the side of his bunk. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Alomar would play Gene Wilder, who would look in on Grossberger, looking in on Sean Critney being pinned to his bunk and kind of smile. Yes.
Well, that's loaded.
I will send a check, seriously, to the Razor Ramones if they reenact this play. Yes.
How much of a check? That's the question.
Not much.
Everybody's got a price.
Well, yes.
You know what I mean? Somebody said that once. I think it was Donald Trump.
Everyone has a price. Yeah, I don't know who that was.
And then they were like,
it was probably Belinda Carlisle of the Go-Go's, yes.
Also, previously of the Germs, the aforementioned Germs, she was one of their first drummers.
Oh, wow, really? Belinda Carlisle was? Okay.
Yeah, her name was, she went by some wacky name in it. What was her name? Belinda Carlisle, Germs. Heaven is a place I know I'll find. What was her name when she was in the Germs? It was like Dottie Danger is the name she went by, I believe. Dottie Danger. Yep.
Oh, okay.
She
Dottie Danger. Okay.
She was in the damn Germs, QT. The Germs.
Oh, wow. All right.
Mm-hmm. So was Pat Smear, later of Nirvana and Foo Fighters fame.
Pat Smear? Okay.
Pat Smear, yeah, and that's about it.
Oh, okay.
Darby Crash. Yep.
Darby Crash. I know that out in Los Angeles in that 77 through 80 period, that saw kind of like the birth of the punk movement on the West Coast. I always kind of followed the exploits of Black Flag and Greg Ginn and his nonstop work ethic. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves Black Flag. Black Flag is best, but I love the germs so much, too. Mm, do I love them.
I wonder if Chuck Dukowski, the bass player of Black Flag, if he did any gigs with the germs early on. I'm pretty sure he did.
No.
No?
No.
Oh, okay.
The germs were pretty much always the same people. Darby Cratch, Pat Smear, Larna Doom, and then a drummer. Whoever, they had a different drummer all the time. So it was always that same little group. Yeah.
Now, who was the early band for Black? Who was the early drummer for Black Flag? Was it a guy called Mugger?
Mugger. Oh, that doesn't. What was that? I know who you're thinking of. Give me a second. I don't remember a fellow named Mugger.
Maybe that was his nickname.
And do what?
Maybe that might have been his nickname.
I'm looking here for you. I'm looking. Drummers. Where are you, drummers? Here's the list of the drummers. Brian Migdahl, maybe. Maybe he went by... No? Robo, of course. Robo was a longtime drummer.
Oh, okay.
And then Chuck Biscuits, who was later in Danzig. There's no one that went by Mugger.
Oh, okay.
I don't know about that.
You know, Henry Rollins, he seemed to be in pretty good shape for the wear and tear of the road. You know, he had wrote that one book, Get in the Van, you know, and he kept a journal along with, you know, all his travels and stuff. And, you know, he seemed to be in pretty good shape, kind of buff, kind of like Iggy Pop. Now, there's a guy that keeps himself in shape, even though he's like getting close to 70 now. But who would you say Henry Rollins would match up pretty well in with the wrestling circuit? Who would you like to see the top three of him wrestle?
Henry Rollins, top three. Ric Flair, I think that would be incredible right off the bat.
Yeah.
You know, Ric Flair.
Okay.
Ric Flair would be the big time and money guy, you know, and Henry Rollins is the working class, you know, gritty baby face kind. Not maybe in the vein of a Stone Cold. So maybe there's another one, a Stone Cold too. So a Ric Flair, a Stone Cold, and a top three opponent for Henry Rollins. It had to be someone, $1 Million Man. Yeah, someone that epitomizes kind of the right-wing conservative wealth that Henry Rollins would oppose. So there's my top three, Ric Flair, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and $1 Million Man.
Well, you know, I have listened to Henry talk on it on YouTube about his speaking tours. He to me, he's like 80% liberal, 20% conservative.
Hmm.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He's Mugger. You were thinking about was the roadie for Black Flag.
Oh, he's the guy that kind of drove the van, didn't he?
Yeah. He was also in a band called the Nig Heist.
Oh, wow, the Nig Heist, okay.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Mugger. I knew I'd heard the name, but I couldn't place it.
All right. Okay,
yeah,
well,
but
did you have a chance to look up Stir Crazy with Grossberger in a cell?
I couldn't find the scene in the cell yet. I found where they're in the mess hall with him. So far,
okay.
I'm still trying to track down the other one. Yeah, I bet it'll be a delight.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Now I'm
I'll
trying
to
find it. Did you get a kick out of the cheer squad when they were in WWE?
The Spirit Squad
the cheer squad that came down to the ring acting like cheerleaders.
Nikki and who went on to become another wrestler. I think it was Nikki, who'd he go on to be? Nikki, Nick. I think
someday,
it was Nick Hogan.
Who was the main guy of the cheer squad that went on? Maybe even to TNA.
Does he still wrestle, Stein Guy?
I think Nick is also known as Dolph Ziggler, maybe.
No, that's not who I'm thinking of.
Yes. Here's who I think my number one match I'd like to see Henry Rollins go up against. Dolph Ziggler.
Really?
Yes.
That would be an interesting matchup. I've never thought of it, but I like it. I like it a lot.
And then my second choice would be if you could go back a decade or so, if Henry Rollins could challenge Jimmy Wang Yang. Yes.
Jimmy Wang Yang. Why would you want to see that one?
Well, he's kind of like the redneck Asian. Yes. I always liked that angle. Yes. I think Wang Yang could take care of Henry Rollins quite as easily.
Okay. You think easily? I don't know. That guy's pretty small, and Henry Rollins is pretty tough. He used to punch fans all the time.
Some of them, yes. Yes.
Oh. I don't know. Good question. Who would you want to see?
Then I'd like to see how long he could last against King Kong Bundy.
King Kong Bundy, a staple on Married with Children.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Mm. So good on it, he was.
Yes.
He was well, a Peggy's family, wasn't he? He was a wanker, I believe.
Yes, Wanker County, yes.
I believe he was a wanker.
He was an uncle on that side of the family to Bud, yes.
He also was on an earlier episode just as himself.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. I believe Bertha Faye was also on an episode of Married with Children. Or am I thinking, Flying Guy, was it Bertha Faye or was it someone else?
No, it was Mountain Fiji.
That's who it was. Yeah.
Wow, Mountain Fiji. Well, I know that Big Mama got up on the top turnbuckle and came down on Al.
Yep, that's who it is. That's Fiji. That was Fiji right there.
Yes, Al had to pay off Peggy's credit card, yes. And he was hoping to, you know, really like wrestle the farmer's daughter, but nope.
Wait. This tells me Judo Gene LaBelle was on Married with Children, too.
Oh, wow.
What the world? Did you know this fine guy?
I believe he just had like a really small role whenever they did the wrestling show so he could coordinate the wrestling part.
It says he was on it several times. I'm trying to
find
out more
about
this. Yeah,
they had several wrestling scenes over the years.
He was on it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. He was in season 2 as a character named Larry. He was on season 4 as a character named Referee. He was in season 6 as stunt performer, drunk patron at the nudie bar. He also played a character named Black Ben in Brutus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Judo Gene, who knew?
Wow, okay. Now, we were discussing earlier famous inmates of Indiana. Was Jeffrey Dahmer among them, or John Wayne Gacy?
No, I'm pretty sure they were not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Let me look up. I don't recall Dahmer. No, I don't think so. I don't think Dahmer was here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I wonder where he was held.
That's what I'm looking. Looks like it's at Colorado. And...
Oh, wow. All right. Okay.
No.
You know,
Portage, Wisconsin is where Dahmer was.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Portage.
Did you know Jeffrey Dahmer's favorite shampoo was Head and Shoulders?
You know his favorite song by Garth Brooks was I've Got Friends in Crawl Spaces?
Oh man. Okay.
Fine guy, do you know any Jeffrey Dahmer jokes?
I think QT exhausted mine.
Let's try to make some up real quick. What's Jeffrey Dahmer's favorite stew?
It's got to have something to do with Dinty Moore beef stew.
I was just gonna say, gay fellas.
Oh.
gay fellas, dude. He really loved to eat the gay fellas.
Well, yeah, he did, yes. I never heard of any stew with any remotely named like that.
The gay fellas? He would make a stew, but it would be made out of gay fellas. It would just be a typical beef stew, but if it puts beef, it would be gay fellas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, probably not a very good joke.
Well, guys, we have just a few minutes left, so I'm going to give Blueberry Muffin Sharp the chance to say anything he would like to say in closing, plug and promote anything and everything, upcoming appearances, merchandise, your favorite jewelry store, anything you want, floor is all yours.
QT, it's been a delight. I've enjoyed this conversation with you. We really delved into some stuff, and it's been a true blessing, a true delight, an honor. Can you toss out one or two of your gimmicks real quick, QT, your word associations?
My voice associations?
Yeah, whatever.
Well, I am sorry about your concussion that you suffered in high school. And I'm glad you heard of Mark Morris, and I do hope you complete your homework assignment of looking at Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder in the prison cell. You might have to go to the full movie and just cut to that part. Yes.
Sounds like a plan.
And share it with your wife, please. It's nothing X-rated.
It's not X-rated, but I'm not going to share it with her then.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for having me, you guys. It's been a fun time. QT and I guess Sign Guy, too.
Sorry we segued a little bit away from the wrestling that we were supposed to, but sometimes you...
Yeah.
Yes.
What can you do?
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. So we'll talk again soon.
Oh, okay.
All right. Bye.
Rex Reiser, Blueberry Muffin Sharp, people. So that concludes this week of Rex Month. One more Rex next week. QT, we have one of your favorite T-Rex next week.
Oh, man. T-Rex, I've got to be on top, man. Hey, when you're interviewing T-Rex, it's highly regimented. Yes, very highly regimented. And who do we got coming up Sunday, son? You tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners who we will interview Sunday.
Yes, Brian Skyline.
Brian Skyline, okay. I look forward to looking at film of Brian Skyline. Yes, video.
Absolutely, I will see that you have some. Join us, BS Month continues Sunday. We'll talk to you then.